Now we're getting to the bottom of everything.
It's time for Mother Angelica.
I mean, that's awesome.
Answering the call.
Answering the call.
This world is no place for Catholic chickens.
Answering the call.
You call that a failure? I call it a great success.
Here's Father Joseph and Doug Keck.
And welcome once again to Mother Angelica Answering the Call. I'm Doug Keck with my co-host, Father Joseph Mary Wolf, our chaplain here at EWTN. Great to see you again, Father.
Always good to be with you, Doug.
And of course, these have been shows that feature compilations of some of the great conversations Mother has had over the years with various viewers from the network for the live shows, many of which you yourself were at, right?
Yeah, just good practical insights into how to deal with everyday life and the troubles that come up for most all of us, right? And she has practical wisdom that can answer a lot of questions for our listeners today, too.
Right, so we've got several calls. Coming up in the first segment, we've got one dealing with forgiveness and another one talking about the jealousy of God. And it's always interesting because one of the things Mother says in the upcoming segment is, I think old age is the most wonderful gift God can give us, which is, she also goes on to say, that's why it's, make sure they don't pull the plug too early, which is a big problem today, unfortunately.
It is, yes. And she had an experience, I actually had a similar experience too, as a priest, of a man who had ridiculed the faith, you know, his whole adult life and his wife's Catholicism, and went there at his deathbed. He was in a coma, but Mother described something similar where the Lord touched him in that moment. He could still hear. So that'll be an interesting thing for our listeners to hear, Mother's description of what happened.
And speaking of being a jealous person, which I know you're not, but Mother talks about the jealousy of God and the idea that God's not jealous for his sake, but for our sake. It'll be interesting to see for people to hear what she has to say about that.
Yeah, that there's really nothing God needs, right? So he can't be coveting what we have. And that passage he's referring to is from the book of Exodus, where he says, do not have other gods before me. Why? Because it will be detrimental to ourselves, right, to worship something that doesn't exist, but we will be fulfilled in loving him.
It really is, in a sense, God's own compassion, as Mother says. And here's Mother Angelica.
We have a call. Hello?
Oh, hello. Good evening, Mother. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, it's fine. Where are you from?
I'm from Miami.
And what is your question?
Well, I have a teacher who sort of guides me spiritually, and she tells me that the world is in need of a lot of forgiveness today.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if this evening you could speak a little bit about God's love and forgiveness for man, and how in 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul tells us that's the greatest gift.
Well, you said 1 Corinthians?
Yeah, chapter 13.
13 chapters? Here we are. Yes, that's to be ambitious for the higher gifts. Mercy is an awesome gift of God to us. See? God gives me mercy. The fact I wake up in the morning, it's an act of God's mercy. He knows. Before 9 o'clock, Angelica will either blow it or be impatient, whatever. The other day, I made the sisters laugh. We read where God said that Moses was the gentlest of men. And I thought, well, I don't know about that, you know. He murdered a man. He got so hot-tempered and angry with the Jews, he broke the Ten Commandments all over him, you know, and pow. So I thought, well, I would like God's definition of gentleness. And I said to the sisters, maybe I got it, don't know it. The sisters looked at me and said, No, Mother, you don't have it. But in spite of my faults and weaknesses and temper and all the rest that I am, God lets me wake up every morning. That's an act of God's mercy. I think old age is the most wonderful gift God can give us. I pray that I live a long time and can make as many people miserable as I can. And I can see people looking at the TV and say, that old woman making us miserable again. But it is a gift. It's an act of God, because every day, I'm 72, every day I learn something new about God. I learn something new about myself. None of it good, but I get to know it. I can love more today. I can give something to God that I didn't give him yesterday. And I can grow in the image of Jesus. That's why, please don't pull that plug too early. Please wait. You don't know how many graces and gifts. We talk a lot about the quality of life. We'll raise it up and talk about our quality in heaven. Maybe that person needs a few days more to repent. Tell Jesus I'm so sorry. You say, well, they're brain dead. How do you know that? Your little machines tell you that? God and the soul live alone. And in those times, God speaks to the soul. Even doctors will say that you lose your hearing less. But I think it's significant that that's true. But you lose your hearing less. Because once you hear, you can make a decision. You can say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm sorry. I went to a man that they said was brain dead. That rigor mortis had set in. He was on all kind of machines. And I whispered an act of contrition in his ear. And I said, Jesus loves you. He's coming for you. And out of this so-called dead man came the biggest tears I ever saw. His eyes just welled up and the tears start coming down one eye. 10 minutes later, he died. He heard me. Had they pulled the plug ahead of time? I just want you to know there may be times, but be careful. When they start throwing at you quality of life. If I love this person, it doesn't matter how sick they are. See, we're beginning to get in our minds a mentality of death, not life. Be careful. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, Mother.
Hi, where are you from?
This is John Rivera from Omaha. Good evening. We love you very much. And
thank you.
I cannot believe I'm talking to a very famous person. Mother, this is my question. We say that God is love.
Right.
And why is God say that I am a jealous God in the Old Testament?
Let me explain the jealous God. God is not jealous of us like we're jealous of each other. Because when we're jealous, we feel we lack something that somebody else possesses. God lacks nothing. God is not jealous for his sake, but for our sake. He knows what we miss when we love creatures or things or ourselves more than him. It's a compassion that God has for us. That God loves me with an infinite love, and he knows what I'm going to miss if I turn against him. And he feels very bad about that. That's the kind of jealousy God possesses. Our jealousy is mean, judgmental, angry, and covetous. Oh, that's a big difference. God cannot be any of those things. God is love, and he knows what we're going to suffer if we don't love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the scripture says, I am a jealous God. Well, it's not the kind we have. The kind we have is sinful, and God is holy and pure and totally without sin. He cannot sin, because the Holy One. See? So you have to understand that our dear Lord is grieved when we turn against him. because he knows how much we will suffer. And his love for us is so great, even if we don't love him, his love for us is so great that he feels so bad. He feels so compassionate for our stupidities. See? And so we need to know that our first love is always our love of God. And sometimes we have to give up a lot of things to prove that we love the Lord.
So there we have it. Next up, another segment, Father. This one's kind of interesting. It's about hatred. And one of the things I note with Mother in her comments coming ahead is, if you've done your best, I think I would pray for them ongoing one way or the other.
Yes, you know, this is a question that is common with people. I hear it often in confession that people will feel guilty. They've tried to be reconciled with the other person, and yet that person will have nothing of it. And they're wondering, well, you know, should I just continue to try? And Mother answers very well here, you know, that we pray for them. And I love something that she says. We can't always make things right, but we can help them to get more graces. So that has to be our goal. They're good.
Right. And the prayer works for us and for them. So let's hear what Mother has to say.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
And what is your question?
Someone hates you, and you've done everything you can to remedy that. Is it enough to pray for that person, or must you seek them out?
Well, the Lord said go 3 times, and if you can, sometimes you can't go 2 times because they're so obnoxious, you know. If you've done your best, I think I would pray for them. Some people, the most charitable thing you can do for them is leave them alone. See, yeah, that's the most charitable thing you could do to some people. But pray, see? Pray and ask God to bless them. I know it's going to come out of your lips so hard, see, but do it. Even if you say, God, bless him. Even if it's that hard, say it. It's okay. But I would leave it alone and just pray. You can't always make some things right, but you can help them to get more graces. You can love them in your heart, though they don't love you back. And that's the important thing, see.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call on EWTN Radio. Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And we are back with part 2 of Answering the Call, featuring the one and only Mother Angelica answering great historic phone calls over the years from our EWTN live shows that she did for many years on EWTN. Doug Kecht here with Father Joseph Mary Wolf, who was very close to Mother Angelica over the years, clearly. Let's talk about a couple of topics coming up. The first one is female priests, Father. It seems like something that never goes away. Even back then, Mother was dealing with it.
Yeah, she says we want to do something God doesn't want us to do, you know. And it's like learning to accept how God has made us. She even brings up there, we want 5 genders. You know, I didn't realize it was going on 20-some years ago, but apparently so. We don't want to accept reality as it is. You know, God is God. He's made us in a certain way. And there are things that we can do, and there are things that we cannot do, both physically and spiritually. And so you think about what limitations did Mother Angelica have in not being a priest? She reached the whole world, right, in her own unique femininity.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a point she makes in there that I thought was interesting. She says, remember, my dear friends and family, be children of the light. Do not tolerate darkness. If you do, then you will be a child of darkness. So it's important to keep that in mind. In the second segment here, following that one, we'll roll into one having to do with the hypostatic union. And really, it's talking about the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, which was so dear to Mother, as people will hear when she explains it. But you think about how much of an issue that is today as well.
Yes, it continues to be, you know. And this person was saying, well, the Scripture just talks about the body and blood of the Lord. This is my body, this is my blood. Well, where does soul and divinity come in? Well, of course, Christ became fully human, so he had a human soul, right? But he was also divine. He was God and man, and that's what Mother was bringing out. And so it's necessary that the Eucharist is indeed his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity.
Absolutely, and as Mother will explain.
We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And what is your question?
I have a question about the Eucharist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I understand the Church's teaching that the Eucharist is the real presence of Christ's body and blood.
Soul and divinity.
What?
Soul and divinity.
Well, okay, that's part of my question.
Okay.
I was going to say, I understand the Church's teaching that the Eucharist is the real presence of Christ's body and blood because that can be found in the Gospel, but I don't understand why you say that the Eucharist is also the real presence of Christ's soul and divinity.
Because
I wanted to know, what does the Church base this teaching on?
The Church teaches. There's a lot of heresies going around today that it's not the body and blood, just a sacrament. Some say it is the body and blood, not the divinity. You can't separate the body and blood of Jesus from his divinity and his soul and divinity. On earth, he never ceased to be God. That's why when John the Baptist said, are you the one, or do we look for another? He gave the signs of the God-man, man-God. And so you just can't say this is the body and blood of Jesus. You can't separate the one from the other. You couldn't do it in his lifetime. It's what we call hypostatic union and transubstantiation. And so throughout the Scriptures, and you see, when Jesus said, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. Well, you can't make it just body and blood. The life comes from his divinity. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus was man. And you cannot in the Eucharist, neither on this earth, could anyone ever separate, even for a moment. From the time of the Incarnation, he was God and man. And all through his life, it was God and man. And when he comes in that wondrous sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, you cannot separate my soul from my body. We call that death. But my soul is in parts. It's in three different parts, and you can't separate that. But my soul keeps my body going. When my soul leaves, then I'm dead. The hypostatic union of the divine with the human is always one. It can never, never be separated. And so you deceive, and that's the teaching of the Church. And don't let anybody confuse you. It's so bad. And go and visit him. Say, Jesus, teach me. Give me light. We have another call. Hello?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Louisiana.
And what is your question?
I have a religious teacher who tells us women should be priests.
What?
That women should be priests.
How long are you in that school?
Ma'am?
How long do you have to be in that school?
Oh, I'm in eighth grade.
Well, sweetheart, you tell her that the Holy Father said there will never be a woman priest, so why can't she be obedient? You see, a teacher who teaches religion should not teach disobedience to the Holy Father. They don't belong there. This is the darkness today. Teachers who don't pay attention to the Holy Father, he could say anything he wants, they don't pay attention. How can anyone teach light when he's in darkness by teaching disobedience? Women cannot be priests, sweetheart. God has not ordained that, you see? That's that power thing again. We want to do something God doesn't want us to do. Now we want five genders. We're having enough trouble with two. You see, and people believe this. God does not will See, the whole object of a priest, the whole reason for a priest, that he is another Christ. A woman is another Christ in her heart. By her holiness, as Mary was, she was Christ-like. She cannot take the place of Christ. A woman cannot offer sacrifice in the name of Jesus. We can't. And I'm sure somebody somewhere will ordain a woman, but she won't be any more priest after than she was before. It'll be a blasphemous thing. What you need to do is go to homeschool. You know what the Holy Father said, huh? When he was here, he said the primary role of parents is to teach their children, especially religion and catechism. Flunk the course rather than buy the lie. You hear that? Flunk the course rather than buy the lie. There was a young student came to me, said she flailed in her test. Because the question was, what is the difference between a witch, magic, and the Eucharist? She says, there is no resemblance. The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. She failed. Thank God she failed. Remember, my dear friends and family, be children of light. Do not tolerate darkness. If you do, then you will be a child of darkness. Stand tall even to your teacher, not in disobedience, but truth is truth. We must teach the truth. In the truth is light, in the truth is joy, in the truth is happiness. I've always found that the people who do not teach the truth are kind of sad sack. You ever notice that? If you want to be filled with the joy Jesus promised, we must speak the truth from our hearts and live the truth.
Okay, and now our last segment, something interesting, Father, talking about a phone call that had to do with asking Mother about ringing bells at Mass. Mm-hmm.
Right, and so I think that really goes back to the extraordinary form. When the priest, you couldn't see the chalice and the sacred bread, or the bread that was going to be consecrated. And so the bell was a signal that now the epiclesis is happening. And then the priest is genuflecting, he's elevating, and so on. But we can also think of the Trinity, can't we? The Most Blessed Trinity with the ringing of the three bells at the elevation that we have today.
That's right. And Mother explains all about the ringing of the bells at Mass.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Illinois. My name is Ryan.
And what is your question?
Why does the Mass have ring three bells?
Why do we ring the bells?
Yeah, three times.
Yes, we ring them three times.
Why?
Because of the wonderful, wonderful event that's taking place. You see? It's a sign of joy. It's also a sign of a moment in the Mass when Jesus comes down to us in the Eucharist. When that priest says, "This is my body," after that, it's a sign, the bells are a sign that, oh, what an awesome thing. In Italian festivals in my day, we used to have fireworks, and the bells would ring. The joyful news that Jesus has come into our midst. Now they've taken that away, unfortunately. We ring them. And we ring them to make you alerted to the great event that has just occurred. Jesus is in our midst once more. What an awesome thing. And that's why we ring the bells.
For more about Mother Angelica and to listen to her shows, go to EWTN.com. See you next time on Mother Angelica, Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.